Please join me in prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall on us in fresh and needed ways. I ask that you would open our ears, our minds, our hearts to what you have for each one of us. May you be in my mouth, giving me your words to speak. And may you be in our hearts, prompting us in the ways that we each need. In your precious and powerful name, amen. At last Sunday's service, Steve started us out with the words of Ubi Caritas, "Where charity and love are, God is there." And then Steve urged us, if you want to find God, look for where the love is. That is such a beautiful opening. And I resonated with it, as I'm sure many of you did. And at the same time, the thought that popped into my head was, I find God in conflict. That was how the Spirit nudged me into signing up to give the reflection today. And this statement, I find God in conflict, it may seem counterintuitive. It might even sound a little crazy to you. But I want to be clear, from my perspective, seeing God in love and seeing God in conflict are not actually opposing visions. I would suggest that these two ideas can complement each other fruitfully. And so this reflection is my attempt to explain how I think that can be. This reflection is also my contribution to our current series, Following Jesus the Rest of the Week. My daily work, indeed my longtime vocation, is as a conflict specialist. Okay, so the actual position title is Training and Dispute Resolution Specialist. And it's true, I lead a lot of trainings, and yes, at times I help people resolve disputes. But increasingly, I've come to simply describe myself as a conflict specialist. And it's not only because that's a position title that's a little bit shorter. Most deeply, it's because I believe that my work is not about trying to diminish conflicts or make them go away. Rather, it is about conflict transformation. That is, trying to engage conflict more directly and constructively for the sake of learning, growth, and positive change. I'm going to say a bit more about what conflict transformation is and how it reflects my theology and ethics. But first, I want to share a little bit of the journey that has brought me into this work. When I look back on my childhood, I think there was likely nothing at all that would have signaled Sarah will grow up to be a conflict specialist. On the contrary, I was a very quiet and shy child. My tendency by nature, certainly, and I think by nurture, was to avoid conflict in every way possible. My tendency was to accommodate others, to conform myself to their preferences, to hold my tongue, to avoid speaking up, even perhaps especially when I disagreed with what was being said. It was to walk away at the first sign of raised voices or arguments or fights. And I will admit, I still have all of these tendencies within myself. However, as a young adult, I also felt called increasingly, little by little, into racial justice work, cross-cultural ministry, peace building. This is hardly a calling that can be lived out through accommodating, conforming, or holding one's tongue. And at times, I wondered, am I really cut out for this? Am I actually hearing this calling right? I remember once when I was on a cross-cultural mission trip with one of my peace-building mentors. This was an amazing woman. She had served as a missionary in Lesotho. She had resisted apartheid in South Africa, and for that work was imprisoned and tortured for a while. During this trip that we were on, my mentor shared very frankly about mistakes that she had made in the course of her cross-cultural ministry and ways that she had offended other people she was working with. My first reaction at listening to this was despair. I thought to myself, okay, if Claude Marie, this amazing woman, makes mistakes and sometimes hurt people, what hope is there for me? Surely I am going to make all kinds of mistakes. And I don't want to cause any harm. So maybe I shouldn't even try to do cross-cultural or peace-building work. But then, almost immediately, the realization came to me. If I try to avoid working alongside of people who are different from me, if I try to avoid relating to particularly those who have been harmed by racism, by white supremacy, by US imperialism, I won't actually avoid causing harm to them. I'll only avoid being aware of how much harm I'm causing, of the ways I'm complicit in the harm they're experiencing. And this was one of my early lessons of how following Jesus asks us to go outside of our own comfort zones. And often to go into spaces where at times we will feel awkward and raw because we're aware of our imperfections, of our growing edges, of the many things that we don't yet know. These are the places where inevitably we will sometimes mess up. And places where we are invited not to simply hold our tongues, not to walk away, but rather to accept responsibilities, accept our responsibility for our mistakes, for messes that we've contributed to, and then to do our best to make amends and do better next time. This calling to peace building and particularly anti-racism work is what led me quite directly into serving with community peacemaker teams, or CPT, doing nonviolent activism and international accompaniment, sometimes in Colombia, sometimes in the West Bank of Palestine. And then after CPT, I entered a PhD program in Christian ethics with a concentration in religion, conflict, and peace building. And one specific focus of my studies in that program was the field of conflict transformation. And this helped me reframe how I understood conflict, both in daily practice and also for me in theological and ethical terms. As I mentioned, I had grown up fearing and trying to avoid conflict. As a CPTer, I certainly couldn't avoid conflict. The nature of that work is, in fact, to go to places in the world where conflict is happening rather than going away from conflict. Still, even during those years, I was accustomed to thinking about conflict as something negative, destructive, often violent. That was how we were experiencing it in the field. And I am keenly aware that this is a very common perspective. I've learned this from experience. For years now, I've been teaching classes or workshops about conflict. I will often start by asking people to share, what are the first words or emotions that come to your mind when you think about conflict? And the kinds of answers I get are words like argue, fight, war, anger, fear, anxiety, stress. There's this very typical pattern, negative words always show up first. And there's a good reason for this. All of us, at one point or another, have experienced destructive forms of conflict. Yet, this isn't the only way to perceive or experience conflict. Conflict transformation begins with recognizing that conflict is a natural and, in fact, inevitable part of human interactions. Conflict is going to be present in any nation or society or community, or yes, any church. Most fundamentally, I've learned to think about conflict as the friction that arises when human difference is in close proximity. I think probably any relationship that goes long enough and deep enough will encounter conflict or difference in some form. That may be differences in communication styles, ways of interacting, maybe different perspectives, different beliefs, different values, different goals, different interests in the moment. But in one way or another, conflicts come up. And it is true, when this conflict is engaged or approached in a destructive or defensive manner, it causes damage. But when we can engage the conflict constructively, it offers us an opportunity to learn from the differences that we are encountering. It may offer us opportunities to rethink our assumptions, perhaps expand our ways of understanding the world. It may offer us an opportunity to become aware of some underlying patterns of communication or behavior that aren't serving us well. And then once we're aware of that, to work on developing new habits. On a broader social scale, conflict may be what sheds light on structural inequities and injustices, which is then the first step, or can be the first step, toward addressing those harms and working for social change. So, I've said often, we need to engage the conflict constructively. What does that look like? I think there are largely two sides to this. Sometimes this means what I think of as conflict resolution, or de-escalating the tensions so that we can talk through our differences and our disagreements, hopefully find common ground, negotiate creative new solutions. This is, I will acknowledge, a lot of my current work as a training and dispute resolution specialist. And this is a very important part of conflict transformation. And there's also another side to conflict transformation. Sometimes it requires that we actually escalate tensions. For example, nonviolent direct action, being a whistleblower, speaking up and intervening instead of being a silent bystander when we see something going wrong. All of these actions escalate tensions instead of keeping the quiet. This is why nonviolent activists are so often accused of disturbing the peace. However, as Martin Luther King Jr. in his letter from Birmingham City Jail pointed out, activists are not the ones creating the conflict. We're just bringing it to the surface so that the public can no longer ignore the injustices and harms already present. I think this is what we see Jesus doing in the stories in Luke 6 that we just listened to. As Jesus is challenging the Pharisees on their narrowly proscriptive Sabbath laws, perhaps especially in the second story. In the first story, the Pharisees are asking questions and Jesus responds. In the second story, you'll notice the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're just watching to see what is Jesus going to do in this moment. And Jesus, aware of this, makes the choice to very publicly, and I would even say provocatively, heal a man on the Sabbath, knowing that this is going to challenge the Pharisee's ideas and lead him more deeply into conflict. Through this conflict, Jesus is offering a fresh vision of what Sabbath rest is really about, that it's not simply a time for refraining from work. It is more deeply a time for healing, for caring for each other. And I do want to be clear on this point as I talk about the need at times to escalate tensions. I do think that sometimes this is what conflict transformation looks like, and it is likely to make people around us feel uncomfortable, maybe angry, maybe worse, as we see with the Pharisees who start plotting further to do Jesus harm. However, escalating tensions, even at needed moments, this is never an excuse to behave badly. It still requires us to act out of love. Again, citing King, his letter from Birmingham City Jail, he talks about when we engage in civil disobedience, when we are breaking laws, we are still breaking those laws lovingly and respectfully. And it's really because we believe that something different is better and is possible. And it's also because we're not willing to write other people off, not even those who are acting as our enemies. And so this brings me all the way back to where I started this reflection, finding God in love and finding God in conflict, at least when that conflict is engaged constructively. I have talked a little bit about how I came to learn about and experience and practice conflict transformation over the course of my life through my vocation. But I also want to emphasize that for me, conflict transformation is grounded in how I read the Bible and how I understand God's own love of diversity. I believe that the biblical vision for the family of God is fundamentally heterogeneous, and this reflects the heart of God. We see this starting the very first chapters of Genesis with the creation accounts, where God is creating every species of plant and animal and the creatures of the air and the creatures of the water. This multiplicity and diversity. Carrying on through the Hebrew scriptures, we see it in the prophetic and apocalyptic visions of all nations gathering on the mountain of God. In the New Testament, we see this in the Pentecost story. We see it in Pauline metaphors for the body of Christ, where we are different parts and have different roles and together are making up the body. Again and again, the Bible emphasizes God's love of particularity and multiplicity. And as children of God, called to be peacemakers, we too are called to celebrate, not simply tolerate, but to value, to love this generative diversity, including, and perhaps especially, in the moments when it brings us into conflict. Such a calling isn't easy, but I do believe that it offers us a richer array of possibilities. It offers us more scope for learning, for growth, for building resilience, for developing wisdom. And it asks us to be open to the often surprising ways that God will work, including through conflict.